Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, Pastor Shei Osoyinbi, enjoy the Spirit.
Father in heaven, this night I stand under your mercy to access resources of grace, to ask for bread and portion for this house, to ask, Father, for the infillings and that which pertains to the children. I ask that you will manifest to us as a gracious Father. You will not count our inadequacies as a barrier for your blessing us. I pray that there will be impartation tonight. I pray that strength will be given. I pray that, Father, that you will glorify the name of your Son Jesus. I pray that your work you will bring to a completion. You will complete it. It is mandatory that the work be completed. We join our faith with yours, Father, that your work on earth will come to an end. Thank you, our Father, for your perfecting work. I pray for utterance. I pray, Father, that I will not speak and speak the wisdom of men, but there will be demonstration of your Spirit and your power. Oh, Father, you will touch our hearts like no one else can. We thank you, our Father. Let us praise together in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. My first introduction to grace took place many years ago. I had enjoyed grace to a measure. But this particular time like this, I began to see the operation of grace in preaching. Just like what you observe here this morning. That was a practical demonstration when Pastor Thompson came and he said he had nothing to say. And he waited and waited, and God helped him. I remember I asked to preach in a fellowship during my IYC, and it was my best prepared message. I've never preached a better message than that before. The title was The Sacrifice of Fools. And I felt that the whole church would be slain by the Spirit. And nobody moved an inch. One fly was not born again. I left that place discouraged and dejected. The following week, a couple came from the mountains of Mubi or somewhere. They're missionaries. They had no package. They had no English. They had no, you know, those packagings. They didn't have the phonetics. They didn't have the flex. They didn't know how to connect the scriptures to flow. They just came ordinarily. And more than 2/3 of the church got born again. Then I was asking, what is the problem? Then you need to understand the meaning of grace. That was my first introduction. That is not by power. It is not by might. But by my Spirit, saith the Lord. There is something I want to say here tonight about the role of the Spirit. I want to speak about the Spirit. And I want to take it from a dimension you all know. Can we go to John chapter 14? Let us look at verses 16 and 17. John 14, 16 and 17. He says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you for how long?" Say forever. How long will he abide? Forever. This morning we are told that grace is not for the present. Grace is for all of eternity. Hallelujah. So, if you understand the nature of the Spirit of grace, you will know that it's not just for now. It's being with us. It's going to be for when? Forever. Can we continue? He said this about him. He said, even who? The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be with you. Can we stop there for a while, and let us examine a few things? He said, even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. There are conditions to receiving the ministry of the Holy Ghost. People speak of grace, and I'm not into definitions this night. I have no time for definitions. I believe you've heard a lot of definitions, but there is one definition that I hate most. When you say grace is unmerited favor, you know, I tell people, you merit grace. Grace is merited. You don't believe. It's in the scriptures. It says, he giveth grace to the humble. The condition is humility. So whoever told you is not merited, the person doesn't know the Bible. What merits you to have access to grace is humility. Why do you think people don't get born again? It's because they can't humble themselves and admit that they are sinners. The reason why you are here today, at that initial stage, you admitted. You humbled yourself to accept the fact that you need a savior. Otherwise, you will not see him. It's merited though. You work for it. You think it's easy to be humble? Hallelujah. We are naturally proud people. Especially if you come from Mondo. It's a gift. It's inborn. It's a grace. When I was going to marry my wife, my in-law said, nah, it no go happen. You know their problem? They say Ondo people, they are very proud and very stubborn. And they made my life difficult. So one day I went to the Holy Ghost. I said, Holy Ghost, I don't understand what is going on here. He said, yes, you don't understand. But I was not interested in understanding. I said, what is the solution? He said, when you see your sister-in-law's to be husband, that is the husband of my sister-in-law. So when you see him prostrate, I had to die 1,000 deaths. Why should I prostrate? He is an in-law, me too, I'm an in-law. But the Holy Ghost has given me the key. So immediately I saw him, Ekulesa. Go need now. By the time I got to Akure, he called me and said, that date you chose has been approved. So you think that you don't know that this thing, this humility is a price. It is costly. Paul said, as you have received him, continue also in him. The problem is that you receive him in humility, but you walk in pride. So it becomes difficult for you to continually see the Holy Ghost. Because he does, see, immediately the Holy Ghost sees pride. He sets himself against it. There are many problems many children are going through. Many believers are going through. Afowofar. I have a friend, he used to come to our church. He's a doctor. He propounded a theory that 95% of our problems is Afowofar. I said, I can't agree less with you on that one. That one is still correct. Hallelujah. Majority of our problems are caused by us. Most of the people on that story, okay, they are disobedient people. Many of them. They are stubborn. They want their way, and they want the Holy Ghost to authenticate their arrogance and their pride. They will not go to God and say, God, I'm in trouble. Can you help me? Because God never helps those that can help themselves. Like Pastor taught us this morning, if you try to save a man that is drowning, you will drown with him. So let him die and kill himself where. Then you're going to pick him out. That's how the Holy Ghost does. Until you are ready
to acknowledge your situation, he will just be looking at you like this. So the Bible said the world cannot receive him because the world cannot see him. And you know why? The world will never admit their need. They will never admit that they need his help. And so he cannot help them. Now my concern is this. We have only known the Holy Ghost within the confines of preaching. Like we saw here, they demonstrated throughout this past week, we have been preached. Everyone has been, all these men are all men of grace. Amen. It becomes a problem for people who are out there. How do you take these things and go and live by grace outside? In your day-to-day living, how do you access the help of the Holy Ghost? That is your challenge. To preach, we've mastered it. Holy Spirit, help me. And he helps. I've preached many times in church. I have no jack to say. I just drove in from Akungba. The only thing in my head is my work. No scripture is there. Nothing is there. I come in very tired. I sit down and I say, Holy Ghost, you know, it is. I always promise him every time that I promise you that next week I will prepare. Well, I never prepare. And by the time I get there, I say, Holy Ghost, now, there is a pride that says, can you go and meet Holy Ghost again? You promised him last week you will be prepared, now you are not prepared. Will you go and tell him again that it might be new next week again? Do you understand? But I've learned that, see, he is not tired of your coming. He's not tired. Don't allow pride to push you away. Don't say, let me not disturb him, Joe. That is pride. Go back again. Tell him again, Multifumbu, help me again. And he always does. Hallelujah. He's always available to help. So the world cannot receive him because the world will never, never see him. They can't recognize the Holy Ghost. Again, you notice people talk when they give testimonies. As I was about to cross the road, something pulled me back. Oh, do you begin to see that? They don't know the Holy Ghost. They can't recognize the Holy Ghost. And they call him something. How long will you remain a babe? How long will you be insensitive to the workings of the Holy Ghost? Listen to me. The Holy Ghost is not only for the church services. The Holy Ghost is for your whole life. So you have to learn to yield. You have to learn to relate. You have to learn his ways. Hallelujah. And I find this very funny. It is when many people want to marry that they go and pray. As the Holy Ghost. Now he has not been leading you over time. He's in marriage, he will now lead you. Foul. Even when he speaks, you won't recognize it. You won't recognize it because you have not been used to him. David said to Saul, said, I have not used these weapons before. It's what you are used to that he will use. I want to believe. So many of us like that, find ourselves in that type of situation. You want to use equipments you have never tried before. Amen. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. He said the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot see. Can you see the Holy Ghost? He said he dwells in you and you will know him. That's very, very powerful. And you will know him. I pray for you that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. In your day-to-day affairs, you begin to see the Holy Ghost. You begin to recognize the grace of God. When I was serving, my friend went into the toilet and spent over 1 hour in the toilet. I thought he was delivering a baby. So when he came out, I said, well, what happened now? He said, now, wow. So I did not even know that you require grace to go to the toilet now. Of course, it was funny to me at that time. But you see, we take these things for granted. In the day you are sick, you will appreciate the grace of God. Do we need those chastising to recognize the Holy Ghost. Let us begin to pay attention to what's happening around us and begin to recognize His work. See, when a thought enters your mind and it's a good thought, for example, you are just walking along the road and a thought on Romans chapter 2 comes into your mind and the thing begins to explain itself out, who do you think is teaching you? Holy Ghost. You should recognize it. It's not, I want to thank God yesterday as we're just driving. One car just came like that. Suddenly, the thing just do me like this. I just thank God. So this one has not grown. It's still a babe. But we cannot continue like this. And this one brings me to what, part of what Pastor, sorry, I beg your pardon, the Archbishop was talking about yesterday. Part of the questions. I'm concerned. Many things we are sharing in these seasons, generations past have shared it. They've worked in them. The question is, why did those things dry up? What happened? Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. But it appears generations are frustrating it. It appears as if a generation works with God to a certain limit, and suddenly that thing is cut itself short, and he has to start all over again. It's very sad. And I want to believe every generation believed that Jesus Christ was to come back in their time. But he never did. Then the question is, what happened? Why did he not come back in their generation? Why was it so that that work was not finished? In the book of Acts chapter 3, Peter was speaking to the Jews. He said the heavens must retain Jesus until the time of restitution is complete. It is when that restitution is complete that he will come back. So anybody that tells me Jesus is coming back anytime, I say, one I'm looking at, is not planning to come back very soon. Because the work of restitution is being truncated every time. There's a generational gap. There's no connectivity with each generation. We are losing generational something. And that takes me to what Paul had to tell Timothy. Can you please go to where Paul was speaking to Timothy? I think 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. And the things that thou hast done of me, heard of me among many witnesses. The same commit thou to who? Faithful men. I think I've had upon you to talk about this before in the convention. One other condition that enables grace, which is your own part of this deal, is your determination to be faithful. Part of the problem has been that we lack men and women that are faithful. Every time a generation arises that is not faithful, the work is truncated. God has to wait for another set to arise, and he will start the work all over again. Look for men that are faithful. The burden also rests upon the leadership to look for them. Praise the Lord. I don't know how many people followed Paul, but he picked only a few men because he recognized faithfulness. Many of us, we have a lot of charismatic gifts. I will come to that because that's part of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The church right now, collectively, we are very low in the manifestation of those charismatic gifts. And we need it. Because, let me repackage my thoughts. Hallelujah. The work of grace is on two levels. Personal and corporate. Are you with me? There's a personal work within a person, and there's a corporate work among all of us. Hallelujah. That's the wisdom of grace. Praise God. And it is important that you understand the dynamics of the working of grace within your soul, which leads to the salvation of your soul, which we have been talking about many years ago. Praise God. Because without that, we cannot begin to come into the restitution of all things. Because if we don't arrive at that point, remember in Ephesians chapter 4, I will come back to that 2 Timothy. He said he gave the gifts, the fivefold ministry gifts. What did he give them for? For what? He said perfecting of the saints. Abi? Until do what? until we all come to the unity of the faith. Now, Reverend Epi said something yesterday. Do you know where we come to the union of faith? Can you recognize that endpoint? So some can come there and not recognize they've come there. Then they begin to run ahead of Jesus. They create another program for themselves. A man of God said many years ago that when he ends one program, he starts another program. Whether it's God who starts it or not, he just starts another program. He keeps himself busy. And we have been running a very busy schedule for years now. But he said here, until we come into that perfect man, unto that perfect man, we must recognize what that perfect man is. So do you know the parameters of a perfect man? If you have never seen gold, will you recognize gold when you see it? You will know it's gold. You will throw it away as a piece of rubbish or anything. But somebody must tutor you to let you know that this is how gold looks like. You know, and this issue came up a few days ago. I was talking to one of my daughters and I said, what is eternal life? Say, eternal life is God. That life of God. I said, what is that life of God? Life alone. Many of you assume you know many of these things, but you don't know it. You don't know what it is. So when they present eternal life to you, you can't even see it. You can't recognize it. Because you have not acquainted yourself with these things. So I used a very simple example to explain to her what is life. I said, I was at a war where those soldiers are. And I saw those people, I saw things. So I said, when you look at this girl, as far as it's concerned, that is life. I don't know what circumstances she has found herself. But see, there are some parameters that have formed her. Philosophies, values, expectations, so many things constitute life. So when you talk about another to her, it's strange to her. Because, kilonso. So many years ago, I came across a book, Abundant Life. I know what the person put in front of the book? A lot of food on the table. That's where our problem started from. Where we began to pursue things as life. Because it was wrongly defined. So we need to understand what is life. Except grace explains it. Just like you said, I don't know glory. I've not seen it before. You can define it to tomorrow, it doesn't mean anything to me. But it's instructive to know, like he pointed out, that what did they see in Jesus that the Pharisees did not see? They said, we beheld his glory. What did they behold? And I'm in fear that we may also find ourselves in the same trouble. That we may see God concluding a thing or God doing a thing and we will not recognize him as God. And then we will reject it. Every generation faces that problem. I gave my pastor problems. Because what was going on in me, he did not understand. Some people are already giving me problems too. If he said, what I sowed, I'm reaping. For all the leaders in the house, I pray for grace. To teach you how to handle the next generation. So Paul said, look for men that are faithful. Men we can commit these things. These oracles can commit it to them. It's instructive that Elijah did not hand over the mantle to the sons of the prophets. I thank God for schools of the prophets, but it never comes, the transfer does not come like that. Amen. The mantle came and fell on the man that was washing his feet and put the water on his hand. Amen. But you see, you must understand, the sons of the prophet knew that their master was going that day. Say, your master is going. But it was given as the prophecy was to spite him. All this young guy, where did he do? He will come back and talk to us. When we call you, you will not answer us. Say, you are with the Elga. When Elga goes, he with you. He said, hold your peace. And his master went. I said, what do you want me to do? He said, as long as your soul liveth, I will follow you. He said, I'm going to Gilgal, Ben Olajolo. The man kept giving him problems. That's what they call faithfulness. If it were to me, honestly speaking, I will never follow Elijah. God knows I won't follow Elijah. You know why I won't follow Elijah? One, his dressing is not good. Have you guys seen dry skin of goats before? Bushy little. Now can you imagine them using it to do jackets? Add pomo as jacket, which is bare like that. No, crazy looking man. I can't follow him more. But this man saw. See, my prayer is that we will learn how to see. We need to learn how to see. Can you recognize the grace of God in your brother that does not come to your fellowship? I said, this is a brother. Or this is a sister. God needs to help us, sir. It is true, we may not be at the same level of maturity, the same level of anointing, whatever it is. Even self, you may even have more insight in your own small church than all the churches combined together. That doesn't make you better. You see, the mystery of the communion table. He said many of you get into trouble, some get sick, some even die. He said because you don't recognize the body. Hallelujah. Grace has appeared, teaching us, instructing us, training us. You have to learn. See, my first, praise God. I was secretary of JCCF. So there were many fellowships under me. Praise the Lord. But our fellowships come over at all born again, in quotes. Do you understand what I mean by that? When you look at them, just leave them, let them go. So God did my own one day. I got Apollo. I mean, you know Apollo. My eyes were bloodshot red. And brethren will look at me, Shakabake Pukapasha. Man of God, you have Apollo. Kappa. Don't you have faith? Oh God. Others speak, I didn't have faith. Amen. My faith level was zero. So those that have faith will come and lay hands on me. Kappa, Sharaba. I cast out Apollo. Apollo the virus. So I felt, I felt angry. I saw the hypocrisy. I saw the lack of empathy. There was no empathy, there was no concern. Nobody was touched by the feeling of my infirmity. There was this arrogance. How can you, man of God, have Apollo? I respected you more than this, but I'm disappointed. So I carried my cross and my shame. Until one brother met me. He was just born again. In fact, he used to go to Love World. How many of you don't know Love World? Very cool fellowship. Came and said, "Hi, Broshi, how are you? What's wrong with you? Oh, you have Apollo, praise God." The brother had to now start teaching me faith. I was like, "What do you know?" And the boy, why is simple saying and made it simple and encouraged me and don't worry, it's going to be well. And I was encouraged. The Apollo was supposed to take about 4 days or so. Mine lasted about 2 days. But it started about Friday. By Sunday, the thing began to clear. So I was able to appear in fellowship without sunshade. Hallelujah. Am I talking to you? Then I realized that this grace is not only in me. Is also in some other people. It will shock you if I say, and please be very careful what I'm trying to say, but I just want to shock you. Can you recognize the grace of God in a man who is in K and S? It's recognition. But see, if you are not acquainted with the ways of the Spirit, if you are not acquainted with the ways that the Holy Ghost relates with people, you may not recognize it. I think one man of God said, if I even look at the Bible, Jesus Christ appeared to those guys on the road to Emmaus, and the Bible says he was talking to them. But they were blinded because his appearance was not the way he normally appears. Now, if Jesus appears to you as, I want to shock you, I love shocking people. Boko Haram. And he's talking to you about certain things. Will you accept it?
No. No.
Because you are prejudiced. you have already made up your mind. Certain people can never, like they can't talk God at all. But that is the funny way of God. He may decide to use something. You know, he used donkey to talk to a prophet. And that prophet was arguing with the donkey. The Bible says he was mad. You will not be mad in Jesus' name. You will be wise unto salvation in the name of Jesus. Now, that is just by the way. Can we come to what I wanted to talk about? Glory to God. The Bible said in Psalm 8, the whole story of Psalm 8, it was an oracle. It was talking about man. He said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that you take note of him? He said, because you said, thou art made him a little lower than angels, but you crowned him with glory and honor. And what that produced was it made him have dominion. Are you with me? It was the crowning with glory and honor that enabled him to exercise dominion over the works of his hands. Praise God. Now, I want to run to the book of Revelation where they were praising God and they said, he has made us kings and priests unto our God, and we shall reign. Do you know the reigning is not over the dominion of his hands? Because if it were to be so, that scripture is not correct. Because right now, America is reigning over the moon. Are you with me? They've conquered the moon. In fact, they said they're not even doing that kind of space shuttle again. They're thinking of how to take a woman to Mars to go and give birth. We are still trying to do an election. If you know what it takes to build a spaceship, all our engineering doesn't match up. Am I talking to Ross? You now know that these people, if it's conquering those things and exercising dominion, these men have mastered the skills of dominion. So it's not exercising dominion and buying a Tokumbo car and says, I'm reigning. You are not reigning. Now, you said something yesterday. Say, what kind of, was it you? I don't know who said it. What kind of message will you preach to Dangote? You have the privilege of meeting Dangote. What will you tell Dangote? My God will bless you. Huh? He will make you great. Something is wrong. Something is just wrong. If you don't know what grace can do, then you can't talk to Dangote. So when Paul was writing about grace, it says somewhere, he said, my son, be strong in the grace. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Be strong in the grace. Now, many of us, again, this is where I'm coming to. Many of us are not strong. To be strong means that you have mastered the dynamics and all the laws of grace. You know how to weld it. You know how to deploy it. You have become strong. Are you with me? You have mastered the art of grace. How many of you like Kung Fu film like me? Thank you, sir. We are on this. you know how grace teaches them. You want to come and learn? I remember the snake in the monkey's shadow. How did grace teach him? When he came, the man was drinking wine. He said, go and pay homage to my monkey. He said, that's your teacher. I said, me? Can you see pride? Me? And over time, it was that monkey that eventually taught him. Am I talking to you? Grace also uses the mundane things of life to teach you. When you look at somebody like Paul, you remember he said this, he said that he was comparing himself with all the apostles. And he said this, he said, I have labored more than them all. Nevertheless, this is not me, but the grace that was with me. The bros. But if you see the way grace mentored Paul, you need to understand it. Because the man learned how to cooperate with grace. All the apostles before him were fishermen. Are you with me? I don't know why Jesus chose those 12 men. I really don't know. Not all of them were fishermen. The one that read among them was Judas, over in Moe. And I guess he must have studied accounting. So they made him accountant, you know, and treasurer. Praise God. Now we know of the three that were very close to Jesus. But for Jesus to have given the post to Judas, he must have been the closest friend to Jesus. They must have been very, very close. Hallelujah. That's why about it, my friend, whom I trusted, was the one who did me in. He was the one who betrayed me. Praise the Lord. Now, what I'm trying to say is that if you notice something about the way these men were gathered and how Jesus taught them, how Jesus mentored them, you'll still see that after they took up leadership, there were deficiencies in their lives. There were leadership issues that those guys had. And while they were going through all those problems they were going through, a man somewhere was being tutored, even though he did not know. Later said that, God who separated me from my mother's womb. There was a working of grace in that man's life. And he did not know it. When he was separated from his mother's womb, the circumstances, not only of his birth, of his upbringing, was a work of grace. While he was talking yesterday, why do you think that he was attracted to certain persons who were artistic? That he was not attracted to football. If you were attracted to football, you never would have been artistic. But there was a working of grace in your life that brought you to those two men, those two young men, to inculcate certain values into you, which was activated now that the body is enjoying. Can you see the... And me, the grace they gave me was to listen to music. They gave me grace to produce music. So that when you play, I can enjoy it. Praise God. Shall you understand me? Many of you, there's a working of grace in your life. And you must understand the way He's leading you. He said, He leaded me in the path of righteousness. I was conversing, chatting with my old colleagues when we were back in school. We just found ourselves after 32 years. And we just go back memory lane. And they said, you are not a bad boy. I could have been a bad boy. But I don't know what made me not to be a bad boy. I had serious capacity for badness. Wicked capacity. I'll tell you one very bad story. A friend of mine, at the end of his time, came to borrow 30 kobo. Is it 30 kobo? 30 kobo. 30 kobo was a lot of money. At the end of his time, promised me that the following, when we resume, he will give me the money. The guy never gave me the money. He said, I didn't borrow anything from you. Me, Loyola, no, I didn't get out of my front. So I said, I will deal with you. You know what I did for him? Every night he will go and buy bread. He will drop it in his locker. He will run and go and look for all the ingredients for eating. Me, I will just go there and take it and go and eat. He will come back bread. I did that for a whole time. That's how bad I was. For 30 kobo, he suffered. I taught him righteousness. But up to today, he doesn't know I was the one who did it. That God saved me. It's a time. Amen. But I was not bad like them, but I had the capacity to be bad. The condition was just not ripe. It just never put themselves together for me to be very bad. That guy just exposed a bad side of me. Later, Holy Ghost just shut that area down. But so when I look back, I can see the workings of the Holy Ghost. that Holy Ghost, if not for you, Kai, I would have gone out of order. It's Jesus, it's grace. So he said, do not frustrate the grace of God. So how do we oftentimes frustrate the grace of God? One way that we often do that is not recognizing the workings of the Holy Ghost, even within us, even in our present place where we are in church. There is this problem I notice in many people. It's called inferiority complex. Many people have a lot of inferiority, and it's called humility. They come under that guy's, I'm humble. Look, and we did this in church. If we judge Jesus based on all our parameters, do you think Jesus would have qualified to be our Savior? The humble Jesus entered the temple one day and went to do bulala and beat those money changers out of the church. Do you really consider him to be humble? No, please just think about it. If Jesus were to come into this place today and take bulala to wipe our buttocks here and say we should step out of church, that he doesn't want to see us, will you go out there and go and preach and say, I love Jesus? What will you have said to the outsiders? Am I alone? Do you understand me? That means our parameter of judgment is wrong. Because if we allow you to judge Jesus, the man will not have done anything for God. Or how will you imagine Jesus Christ sitting down like the most reverend is sitting down here? And one woman we know in town, a prostitute, comes here and starts using her hair to wipe his leg. Ha! Say, man of God. Kill and she. Do you understand me? So if you don't learn how to judge after the Spirit, that's that the spiritual man judges all things, but is judge of no man. I pray the grace of God will teach us. The body of Christ needs to grow up. We need to mature. We really need to mature. Our instruments of judgment needs to be upgraded. Hallelujah. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, I labor more than others. That's an aspect I don't want to talk about. He said, I labor. Everybody say labor. Every man had a measure of grace given to him, a portion of grace. But he said, I labored. And that's where I was going. He said, I labored more than them. But nevertheless, it is not me, but it is grace that was with me. Now, listen to me. I was talking about the background it came from. That's where I came with all these jokes. Some of you went through some very difficult backgrounds. But how many of you know that those things actually were preparing you for glory? Some of you were very unfortunate to have teachers that were very, very bad. Bad teachers. Some are very, very wicked, in quotes. Some will give you assignments and they keep you bombarding with assignments and you have to do... Those things make you to be studious. Iggy was saying that while he was on the bed of affliction, he learned to read a lot. That thing became a pattern for him. You think what he was going through, Holy Ghost, he was only that was going to be a part of the whole plan. So it became a nature for him. Now, he could easily thank God for the grace that made that part of his nature. But if he chose not to activate it, am I talking to you? Many of you hardly read. Many of you hardly pray until you are in trouble. Many of us don't do anything until something makes us to do it. Now, it's a problem of our educational system. Because none of us prepare for anything until there is a test or an exam. And we carry that into the body of Christ. And we behave like that. And that's the problem. Paul said, I labored. Why did he labor? Because of the kind of training God had given him. He had gone to a kind of school. He had gone through a kind of processing that makes it part of him to labor. So some of you will look at where you came from. And some of you that never went to a place where you were ever put under pressure, later on in life it will show. Somebody say preaching is 5%. Sorry, ministry is 5% inspiration. The rest is 95% hard work. What does it cost me to preach for 5 hours? Nothing. But to build a life takes more than 5 hours. To put together a program takes more than 5 hours. It's a lot that goes into it. Now, so if you are not disciplined, if you have not learned the art of working hard, you can't succeed in ministry. People have come in Nigeria, and I think all over the world, ministry is a gateway to fame. Because they know there are so many dumb people out there. They can't think. They just come and say, God, if you come and hit this place 3 times, call Jesus 3 times, you get miracle. That's the kind of God they like. But this God requires you to learn how to cooperate with grace. Paul said that I labored. There is a laboring that goes with grace. I thank God for the exams I did. Those who I did not read, and grace helped me to pass. But if I had read, I would have done better. Abisa. Amen. Grace will so much do the amount you are putting. It will only multiply what you have. If you have 0, it will multiply it by 0. But if you have 1, it will multiply it by... But if you can have 3 or 4, the thing goes higher. Amen. So, I want to encourage us in appropriating grace, learn how to work hard. If the working hard requires you to pray. Now, you know, grace enables people to pray. So, please, let us learn how to pay attention. In John chapter 16, can you give me John chapter 16? I want to speak about the Holy Spirit. Verse 1. Now this is advice spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. Verse 2. They shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he does God's service. And these things shall they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. Now this have I told you, that when the time come, you will remember that I told you of them, and these things I have said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. Now, but now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you ask me whither thou goest. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. Please pay attention. For if I go not away, this comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of what? Judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Albeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into what? All truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things. One of the greatest problems I believe we have in the present church system is lack of defined hope. Can I take that again? When I say hope, if you ask many believers, they cannot articulate what exactly is their hope. They will just tell you, we go to heaven. After we are finished here, we go to heaven. That's the best they can tell you. They do not understand the meaning of glory. They do not understand what God has in mind exactly to do. The Bible says one thing about the Holy Spirit. It's called the Spirit of Truth. It says it will guide you into all truth. Now, the word guide you to all truth is not revelation truth. It is experiential truth. Many of us know truth in our heads. Many of us don't know truth in our lives. When you speak of truth that you have experienced, it is truth indeed. But the one that you say, God can. The day you enter Wahala, we will know whether God can or God cannot. Am I talking to you? Because it is more powerful. When the Bible says that we were witnesses of his resurrection, it is more powerful than the person who read it. Am I talking to you? except the Holy Ghost guides you into the experiential truth, you don't know it. You can't do like this and say, me, I know. When Paul said, I know in whom I believe, he's talking about experience. So when he was talking in Romans chapter 5, he said this tribulation worketh what? Patience. Patience, experience, and experience, hope. The man has been established. He knows what he is pursuing. Because there had been a dealing of the Holy Ghost. There has been a leading into truth. I pray that the Lord will guide you into all truth. The problem we have again is that we pray quietly in our heart. God, don't try those things you did with Job with me. Don't try it. I know you love me, but I don't trust you. You know, tell the truth. Who wants to suffer? Me, I know go suffer. Hey, I know go bear for bread. Hey, kapma, kapa. Me, I know go. Then you say, God, I want to know truth. You can't know truth. The Bible says Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered. That was the path to glory. So what does grace do? It leads you into all suffering and tribulation. You were talking about Psalm 23. I have an interesting interpretation of that. Up to the time God led him, he had no problem. But he said, when he took over himself, it was high walk. Anytime you lead yourself and grace is not the one leading you, you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You will lead yourself. You don't understand me. You know Psalm 23 now. The Lord is who? My shepherd. What does the Lord do for you? He leads you. He guides you. He makes you lie down. Yeah. But he said, when I walked, it was not God who was leading him. He led himself. So he found himself. You will just transport yourself from the path of life to the road of the shadow of death. But even then, in your stupidity, he still will not leave you. Thank God I'm not the Holy Ghost. Tell me, but thank God you are not the Holy Ghost. If you were the Holy Ghost. And when he rescues you, say this rod. Wajegba. This rod and his staff, they will the comfort means that they will teach you not to go that way again. Now, if you don't learn how not to go that way, they will repeat the process until you learn. They won't promote you to the next level. How many of you were kids? Remember the time you were kids? Lantern. They tell you don't go there. Jojo. But until your hand touches that thing, you don't need any revelation again. The revelation is imprinted. Amen. The rod and staff, they will comfort me. It is still grace that makes that happen. Don't despise his testing. Don't despise his workings. How many of us realize that God, see, before God begins to bring you to certain operations of grace, it starts with your small families. I've said this somewhere before, I want to say it again. Many of us are believing God for a mighty outpouring of the Holy Ghost upon our lives. And maybe that could be the reason why we have never seen a great outpouring of the Holy Ghost yet. Because majority of us are very, very unleadable. When you are at home and your parents call on you and say, Adeko, mama come back with me, sir. Daddy, you are already failing. They are already canceling your name on the list. Remember the sons of Jesse when that big boy came? Praise God. Hallelujah. Man of God, are you looking for us? I said, behold, the king of Israel. Because I have rejected him. The exam was done when his father was calling him for. We have Laura Coca-Cola. Oh, hello, David, what job? You know, my children were sharing. I'm going to have to lose me. I was like, no. So if you cannot obey a man you see, how can you obey a spirit you can't see? It was grace that was with your father to send you a very mundane job. So. Then when you pass, they take you to the next level. You go to secondary school. Then your seniors, you have some... When I was in secondary school, I had some bad seniors. 1 week to go, 1 week to resumption. I stopped eating. Hey, bro. I just become sick. No food, nothing. I'm seeing terror. Ahead, and I'm planning, how do I survive this term? Imagine doing that for 4 years. It was terrible. I had to learn. I could have fought them. I was tall enough to fight. I'd have been a fighter, but I had to learn obedience. But it was not easy. But I didn't pass well, so they pushed me. And I kept going like that. The person who was our president when I was in school, it was very short, small man. I might have known Taiwo Adelakun. I might have seen Taiwo. Taiwo is a very small guy. We're together in school. I don't really know. There's this pride and arrogance we have. He was in lower six, I was in form five. So we don't consider ourselves as mates. You know, that kind of. I am mate to upper six. I'm not a mate to lower six. But we ended up in the same fellowship, the same something, the same level. But he was my president. I had to learn how to take orders from him. It was not easy. So I learned that these are the ways by which grace will lead you. Now you that you are unteachable, men can't teach you. Men can't instruct you. God will not be able to assess you. No matter how much we want to help you, they will just reject you. I want to therefore crave and beg us by the mercies of God. Let us learn how to submit one to another. Because it is in that submission that the grace of God can find the expression. Many people in that grace in the churches, in the fellowships, because they will not submit. Because they will fight. They will always cause problems here and there. Some people get one rev and they won't let us rest in church. I'm not any referee. Take it easy. I said, no, this is my referee. Pastor, you must go and do what I just told you. You have no future. You have no future. You will desire it like Saul desired it. Esau. Pastor Esau cried. He said, no. You think Esau was not saved? I don't know. But I think God would have. I believe God helped him. Praise God. But he did not partake in the birthright. Don't let them count you as those who will be gatekeepers in heaven. Are you with me? Some people say they prefer to be gatekeepers in heaven. Me, I'm not interested in being a gatekeeper. I want to reign. And let me finish that thought of reigning, please. Amen. The concept of reigning, I just thought about, look, all men are servants of sin. I wish I can go to Romans chapter 8 and maybe later on we'll do that one. All men are servants of sin. None of them have been able to overcome sin. We are looking for men who overcome sin. Look, immortality. To enter immortality, the formula is very simple. Very, very simple formula. Amen. You overcome sin, you will overcome death. You will step into immortality. It's simple. That's it. QED. Just deal with sin. So all the operation of grace is how to kill sin in your mortal body. Do you know, he said, do you know where that place is? It's Romans chapter 8. He said, if the spirit of him, no, not that, the one before it. He said, if Christ be in you, thank you. Your body is dead because of sin, but your spirit is life because of righteousness. In other words, the reason why many believers still die, because they are sin in their mortal bodies. Their spirit is alive. They will be saved. They will go to heaven. In quotes. But they will die. Corruption will kill them. Because Christ is in them. He said, Christ to you, the hope of glory. Now, the next verse is now interesting, which we are yet to enter. Say, but. Everybody say, but. Why did he put but? It's because we have not entered it. Said, but if the spirit of him, the same Holy Ghost, if him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, what do you say will happen? He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also do what? Quicken your mortal bodies. There is a work we have not entered to, and it's this quickening of our mortal bodies. So far, the Holy Ghost has been dealing with the sin in our souls. We have not come to that salvation of soul. We've not been able to activate that aspect of the Holy Ghost that can deal with the mortal bodies, that can quicken the mortal body. And people think it's going to be the sovereign act of God. The Holy Ghost will just, God will just come, and Jesus will just come down in the rapture, and he will just rapture all of us. Bah, we just go. Who said so? Hello? Hello? You are arriving at this point, we trigger his return. He said they must retain him until the restitution of all things. What will bring the restitution? You remember that it was sin that dropped us down. Righteousness will lift us up. When we attain that righteousness, it will come. Did he not say we come for a church that is... So why are we waiting for him to come back when we are yet not pure and we are not yet clean? Do you understand me? That is the work of grace. It's going to make sure that the church is pure, the church is clean, the church is without any wrinkle. Then it is easy for him to come. And let me close on this note. Please praise the Lord. The Bible says Jesus is the head, have you? And we're his body. Have you seen a 90-year-old man, 90-year-old head, and 2-year-old body? Yeah, really? Now, if you see it, what would you call that? So that's why Jesus cannot come back. Because the body has not grown to acquire his own stature. It is the work of grace that will bring us to that stature. That's why you cannot afford to frustrate it. Every day, if I'm going to give any prayer point, this is your prayer point. Lord, I wake up this morning, I cooperate with grace. Anyhow, grace teach me. Let us learn how to pray the right prayers. He said you don't know how to pray. He said it will take the Holy Ghost to teach you how to pray. There's a prayer you need to start praying. Olongba me is not prayer. It's stupidness. Amen. The problem with Lucifer is that you and I don't rise to that level. The day we rise to that level, the apostles, the 70 went out to preach Jesus Christ. And they preached. And miracles began to happen. The Bible said they came back. And what happened? Jesus Christ said to them, don't rejoice. He said, but I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Now, what made Lucifer fall? It was when men began to shift allegiance from Lucifer to Christ. The reason why Nigeria is still what we are today, men have not shifted allegiance. They are just going to church. They still pay obeisance to the prince. The day we shift allegiance, you don't need to pray. Satan will shift. Just shift allegiance to God. Satan's role in that heavenlies will come down. That is what grace wants to accomplish. That men will be raised. Men will become masters of sin. Sin will have no more dominion over them. Until you do that, you are not reigning. When you reign over sin, you reign over death. No, thank God for the gift of the Spirit. You can raise the dead, but that does not mean you will not die. Praise God. You have to learn how to start killing death. You have to learn the technology of killing death. That is the work of grace. And I believe that God will, in the days and years to come, He will keep teaching us. He will keep guiding us. In the name of Jesus.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday, 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday, 6 p.m. Sunday meetings, 9 a.m. Grace be with you.